So, do keep your Bibles open, please. It's really good just to keep on looking at God's Word, examine what's said in it. What I want to do is actually concentrate on verse 21 and 22. It's just good to have a bit of context, which is why I asked Margaret to read that. Let's just pray as we come to God's Word together. Lord God, we just want to thank you that you want to speak to us from your Word. Father, we pray that you would just give me the right words to say, but, oh, Father, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds. Father, we know it's been a long day, and there's been many things which have excited us, which have happened during the day, Father, and we're just thrilled with the way that you are at work amongst us. But, Father, we pray that you would come now and quiet our hearts, and, Father, to listen to you. Father, you would open our minds, that we would hear your Word, Father, not just in our ears, Father, but we would understand it, but more than that, that you would open our hearts. That you, Father, your Word might penetrate to the very bone and marrow. Father, we thank you. Your Word is that sharp two-edged sword. So, Father, work in our hearts, we pray. Challenge us and lead us, Father, to be servants of God, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever heard of a man called Edward Kimball. Now, there should be a picture of him coming up very shortly. John, that's brilliant. Okay, anybody heard of him? No? Okay. Well, that's fine. I didn't expect so. Okay. But let me just tell you a bit about Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was a normal man with a normal job. All he did is he taught in Sunday school. There was a young lad came into a Sunday school class. He was called Dwight. He came in. He knew little of God. But one Sunday night, God burdens this man, Edward Kimball, to talk to this young boy, Dwight. So he went to talk to this young boy, Dwight. He worked in a shoe shop, so he made his way to the shoe shop and talked to Dwight. And Dwight L. Moody came to know the Lord. Has anybody held a D.L. Moody? No, we're getting there. Okay. So D.L. Moody came to know the Lord. D.L. Moody became an evangelist and greatly used. He came to the UK and he did a campaign in the UK. And there was a man known as F.B. Meyer, who was a minister in this country who was greatly influenced by the campaigns of D.L. Moody. And so F.B. Meyer started to preach evangelistically much more than he had done before. In the course of his preaching, F.B. Meyer went to preach in the United States. And in the United States, there was a J. Wilbur Chapman. They do names well, don't they? J. Wilbur Chapman, who was converted. And there's J. Wilbur Chapman. Well, J. Wilbur Chapman was converted, and he started working for the YMCA in the United States. But while he was working for the YMCA, he brought a man called Billy Sunday to do a mission at the YMCA. And a group of young men involved in the YMCA were so enthused by what Billy Sunday said that they decided that they would bring an evangelist in to the area to do an evangelistic campaign. And so an evangelist known as Mordecai Ham came to town. There's Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham is a very well-known name in the States, probably not so well-known here. But during that mission, as Mordecai Ham spoke, there was a young man who came into the mission, and Billy Graham came to know the Lord. Now, just a show of hands, who here came to know the Lord through Billy Graham? Is anybody? One at the back, Wendy, well done. Okay, no, another at the back as well. And so, okay. So some folk here have come to know the Lord through Billy Graham. My father came to know the Lord through Billy Graham. And so my father then ran Billy Graham televised crusade. And his mother came to know the Lord as well through Billy Graham. And through my father, I came to know the Lord. All of this happened because of one man who was faithful, Edward Kimball. He was just a Sunday school teacher, and God burdened him to go to speak to another young boy, Dwight. And we sometimes think, don't we, that when we are serving the Lord, that we're serving the Lord in a little way. And we can't see what God is going to do with the little things that we do as we're serving the Lord. And what we're doing in this summer series is we're going to be looking at little people, big God. And the whole idea of this series is to look at these little people in the Bible, people who are mentioned only a few times in the Bible. Now, when I talk about little people, you can think little in stature, can't you? But it's not that at all. It's not kind of people you look down on, if you know what I mean. It's not people you look down on. It's not small people. But actually people who are actually great in God's sight, but only mentioned a few times in Scripture. Easy to read over them, easy to skip over the names. But actually, they're greatly used by God. And there's so much that we can learn from these people. And so we're doing this over the summer, in part because I know that people are away for part of the summer, and so we don't want to to do kind of a series through where people are going to miss lots of it and then not be able to catch up. So in part it's that. But also, I want to just encourage you. We've been preaching, or I've been preaching on the mission of the church, on the purpose of the church. But of course, who is the church? Well, we are the church. The church isn't a building, is it? It's us. And we're all little people. And we all go, well, what can God possibly do with me? And we worry and wonder about what's the point of what I'm doing. But what I want you to show is that God takes the little people and he does marvelous things through little people. We do not have to be great in God's kingdom in our own eyes to be used greatly by the Lord. I love Ephesians chapter 2. It's a wonderful start of the chapter, a wonderful set of verses from verse 1 right the way through to verse 9 about our deprivation before we came to know the Lord, but God's wonderful grace to us. By grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one shall boast. And we probably know those verses, this wonderful passage of faith. But the very next verse in chapter 10 of Ephesians chapter 2 says that God has already prepared or laid out in advance for us the good works he has for us to do. And I love that. He's still got laid out for you the good works he's got for you to do. And so we are saved for a purpose. We're not saved just to say, I'm a Christian. We are saved for God's purposes. And we want to see those purposes in the lives of every single one of his believers in this church, so that God uses each one of us for his glory's sake. And so this evening, let me introduce you to Tychicus. Well, it's been pronounced Tychicus, hasn't it, so far? Is that how you know it? Tychicus? Actually, probably, it's a name like mine, it's very difficult to pronounce. It was probably pronounced Tychicus. Okay, now why do I say that? Well, just because there's no Y in Greek, so that does us pretty well for it. It's been a transliteration, but probably it's called Tychicus. And why is that important? Well, his name comes from the Greek tuke, which means lucky or faithful. And I love that, you see, because this is guy, and he comes from the background where basically he's saying that his parents have been saying, well, it's all just kind of luck, you know, there's no purpose for it, it just happens, and he maybe happens to fall into a lucky position, but it's random choice it's about. But what God is saying about this man is it's not random choice, nothing to do with random choice. In God's providence, he knew this person before time began. Psalm 139 tells us that we are known before we're in the mother's womb, and in the mother's womb he sees us while we're being formed. He knows us from before time began, that God saw him as he was being formed, that he and that the Lord Jesus Christ came for him and called him to himself and gave this man a purpose and a destiny and used this man for God. There is nothing which is lucky about him, and there's nothing which is lucky about you either, because we are all in God's providence and all for God's purpose. And it reminds us that we don't look at these people to see these little people. What we do is we're looking at these people not to see the little people, but to see our great God. It's him who enables us. It's him who empowers us. It's him who equips us. It's him who gives us the things we are to do. And it's him who uses us for his glory. And so we give him all the honor and glory. So we want to look for God in this series. God is always the hero. Not these people. God is always the one who must be praised. As John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. That's the reality. He must increase, I must decrease. And so as we look at this passage, we'll be looking at God behind the people. Now, the interesting thing about this person, Tychicus, is his name appears only 5 times in the Bible, and only 7 verses in all, so he is one of these kind of little people, not mentioned very often. But he has 3 wonderful attributes, which you can see in this passage, and I'm going to look at those 3 things tonight. And the 3 wonderful attributes are simply this. If you're writing notes, here it is. Beloved brother, faithful servant, and trusted messenger. He's a beloved brother, he's a faithful servant, and he's a trusted messenger. Now, Paul said, this is something which I think I don't know whether I could say, I would hope I should be able to say this, but Paul says, be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ. I wonder if you'd tell other people to be imitators of you, because by imitating you, they're going to become like Christ. I guess I wouldn't necessarily say that of myself. But you see, when we come and look at Tychicus, what we want to do is to be imitators of these aspects of him, because these aspects of him point to the Lord Jesus. They are aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So first of all, he's a beloved brother. And verse 21, we see Tychicus, my dear brother, or my beloved brother. is a beloved brother. Some people stand out, don't they, for what they do. I remember when my brother, I was talking about my brother this morning, who taught folk to climb. My brother died when he was age 21. I had got a phone call one day, and I was told that he was in hospital, that it was not good, and he was up in the Lake District, teaching people to climb, and could I go up there? And what was I going to do? I had young children, we had one car, I couldn't leave them without a car. How could I get there? And then there was a friend from church who lived just up the road. And they heard about what was happening. He came down to the house and he said, come on, I'll take you up there. And so I got in his car. He accompanied me for 300 miles up to be with my brother in hospital. He stayed with me overnight there and through the next day until he was happy that I was okay to stay there. He made sure I had everything that I needed, and he drove back again. He said, if you just need me to call up again, I will come and get you again. That is a brother in Christ. And some people are like that, aren't they? What an amazing thing to be part of a church, to be with brothers and sisters in Christ like that. And Tychicus was like that. We first meet him back in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And probably he's part of a group of men who were with Paul. He was traveling with Paul. Where did he come from? Probably he was one of those, if you know your Bible, you know that when Paul came into that region, he met certain people who had heard of John the Baptist's baptism but hadn't heard of Christ's. And he was probably one of those people because he joins Paul very soon after that, and he heard probably only John the Baptist's message, but not of Christ. He was a relatively new believer, and he went with Paul as Paul left for Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20 to go and visit the believers in Jerusalem. And we next meet him in Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 4. Those passages, by the way, if you're writing notes, Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. And this passage we've read in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, are probably written at the same time Paul was in prison, probably in Caesarea. He was writing to the churches to encourage them. And so we meet him with Paul in prison. And there he is. And then the next time we meet him is in Titus chapter 3, verse 12. And where is Paul? Paul's in Rome. He's writing to Titus. Guess who's with Paul? Tychicus. And we next meet him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. And Paul is there in Rome, and finally he's in prison. He's getting towards the end of his life. And who has been with Paul all through these years? Tychicus. Isn't it brilliant? He just was with Paul. Right through his life, he was there. There are some people who stick with you like a shadow, and it's not good. You know what I mean? Oh no, they're here again. Quickly hide. Okay. But there are other people, and it's such a blessing to have them at your back. They're just with you all the time. Those who are always there for you. When they're here in trouble, they give you a quick phone call. When they know you're struggling, they call to encourage you and offer you help. When there's great news, they're rejoicing with you. And when there's sadness, they're weeping with you. They're more than just friends, aren't they? They're real brothers and sisters in Christ. This is who Tychicus was. He was a dear, beloved brother. Praise God for brothers like that. I've known them too. I've got there's another pastor called Jonathan who rings up, and he's just keen for God's work, and Anne usually takes the messages and then passes them on to me. And he's just asking. He asks all about Anne. He asks all about me. He wants to know about me. And I'm one of these guys just too wrapped up in what I'm doing to bother asking him what he's doing. I have to catch myself on. But you see, he's got that kind of heart, doesn't he? That he wants to know. He wants to pray for. He wants to be interested in the situation. It's such a privilege to know him. I've put him in charge. There's a fraternal that I run of 70 or so pastors, and Jonathan, he's my pastor of the pastors, because he's the same age as me, but he's an old man, really, because he just loves to be a spiritual father to others, and so he's lovely. And so I've got a Jonathan, I've got an Ingvar. Ingvar was here last week, he prayed over me, and he's just so enthusiastic, and he constantly contacts me at WhatsApp these days, contacts me on WhatsApp, and he's just enthusiastic. He's one of these people who nothing puts him down, you know what I mean? And sometimes that's really annoying, but most of the time that's really encouraging. And he's just there for me all the time. And there's Pete, and he was the treasurer of the previous church. You know, you kind of think you want to get in with the treasurer. Well, actually, it's not about that, because he's just always concerned about me. And it's just lovely having a Pete who's always concerned, wanting to know, wanting to protect. It's such a privilege. Do you know anyone like that? I hope we do. We need to have beloved brothers. But there's a bigger question, isn't there? Am I like that? Now, I know that God makes people differently. And I know he gives us different gifts and different personalities. But you see, we're told, aren't we, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It is good to walk together. In fact, we're made for community, aren't we? God is the triune God. He created us in our image. We're meant to be with one another. We're meant to be, marriage is made in that way, to image the triune God. But so is the church. That's the wonderful thing. And of course, you go into Ephesians, and Paul compares, doesn't he, the marriage of a husband and wife and the relationship with a husband and wife with Christ and his church. And so that's how we're meant to be. We're meant to be brother and sister. We're meant to be a body of God together. We're meant to be one who are growing into the head, who is Christ together. We're meant to be that body. I love it in Exodus chapter 17, and the Israelites are going out to attack the Amalekites who have come to attack them, to defend themselves, really. And there is Moses on the mountain. And all the Israelites are gone, apart from two. Do you remember what those two did? Held his arms up. Held his arms up. That's what they did. And so he was able to pray through the night as they held his arms up in prayer, seeking that God would enable this ragtag Israelite people to defeat an army like that. And what God did is deliver great victory. They held his arms up. And they were as important there as Moses was, their beloved brothers. Why was Tychicus like that? Was he just a people person? Well, no, actually, he was a Jesus person, wasn't he? Because Jesus gathered brothers to him. He gathered his disciples. He lived with them. He dwelt with them. He was concerned for them. He got to know them intimately. And he called them brothers. And the wonderful thing is he calls you brother or sister tonight. And he calls you to be a brother or sister to others. So when I said to greet each other with a holy kiss, it's not just because we ought to be being commanded to do that. This is what God wants us to be. He wants us to be beloved brothers and sisters to one another. So his beloved brother. Secondly, he was a faithful servant. A faithful servant, verse 21 again, we see Titus, a beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord. That could be an insult to somebody. The Greek term there is diakonos. Now, you probably have heard that because we've got deacons. What does it actually mean? It means servant, or actually fairly literally, it means waiter. Okay, I don't know whether you'd like to be called a waiter. If you're employed as a waiter, my apologies. But I remember when I had teenage children, and they just demand things one after another. And I remember saying, exasperated to them once, to say, well, who do you think I am? Do you think I'm your servant? To which, of course, they answered, yes. And of course, I felt insulted, didn't I? You know, it's a position of just being used. But you see, actually, it's more about my heart attitude there, because actually it's a position of privilege. Paul in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 adds the word fellow servant or doulos to Tychicus as he talks about him. And that fellow servant, the doulos, that servant, well, there's many servants and kinds of servants, but one particular kind of servant is often associated with that term in Scripture, and that's the bond servant. The bond servant, there were many kinds of bond servants, but one particular kind of bond servant was simply this, that he discovered, well, he as he was dwelling with his master treated him so well, and his master loved him so much, that he decided that what he would do when time came for him to be set free is rather than being set free, he wanted to serve his master for the rest of his life. And so out of love for his master, he would go to the elders of the town, they would take him to the door of the village, and they would bore a hole in his ear, and that hole in his ear wasn't a sign that he wanted to get a piercing, but it was a sign that he was a bond servant. He had bonded himself to his master for the rest of his life because his master loved him so much and because he loved his master. And that's the picture of a servant in Scripture. We are servants of the living God because he first loved us. And so our hearts respond in love to him. We love you. We want to serve you. And what is his response? Well, of course, if you love me, then you'll love my brothers. You'll love my children. How does people see our love for him? They see it by our love for one another. That's how they see it. And so this is the response of a heart which is in love with God. And so whenever we see Tychicus, we find him serving. in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. He's part of that company who joined Paul in Troas and went off to Jerusalem. And they were accompanying the collection. Now, that was a really difficult thing to do. You might think it'd be great accompanying a collection of money. Well, first of all, it's a vast sum of money that they were taking. Secondly, they were taking Jerusalem. Thirdly, it was a long distance. And thirdly, they were Gentiles. And they were going to a Jewish Christians. And the Jewish Christians, many of them would rather not have Gentiles among them. So they were taking a love gift to these Jewish Christians, and who was the one who was willing to take on that servant role, even though that love might have been repulsed back at them? It was Tychicus, because he had the same love as his Savior who first loved us. And in Ephesians chapter 6 rather than the reading we had, and in Colossians chapter 4, what is Tychicus doing? He's taking letters that Paul wrote to Ephesians and the Colossians and the Philemon. And Paul had a deep love for these churches, and he wanted them to grow, and he couldn't be there, so how could he do it? Well, he would send somebody with him who would have a heart for them as well. And so he sent Tychicus because he had a heart for these people. He wasn't just delivering a letter, as we'll see in a few moments. He was there with God's message to them so he could see them grow. He would be wise with these wayward Christians. He would build them up. He would be a model for all that they could be, so they could look at Tychicus and see what it's like to be like Christ. Not just look at Paul and see what it is to be like Christ. And he had a lovely heart. He was always there to serve. So different from my heart. I remember as a teenager, I was a young Christian, and somebody thought it would be good for me to learn how to serve. Bless them. And so they picked me up and they took me to a house of an older gentleman in the church. And the older gentleman in the church was the most obnoxious older person that you've ever met in your whole life. You know, nothing was right. Everything was wrong. And young people particularly were very wrong, regardless of whatever they did. And I remember coming to his house and meeting this guy and thinking, you've brought me here to cut this guy's lawn. Really? Do you expect me to do that? Yes, he did. So off we went, and I was cutting the lawn, muttering under my breath the whole time. But you see, what was this dear brother doing for me? He was showing me actually what it is to show the love of Christ, to love those who are unlovely, to love those who will not show love back, to love those who God actually has set his love upon and who need to be demonstrated the love of God. And that's what God calls us to. He doesn't call us to show our love to the lovely. He doesn't call us to come together with the ones who share our interest. I'm interested in Land Rovers, by the way, but, you know, just putting it out there. But he doesn't call me just to that. He doesn't call me to get alongside the ones who I relate to best. He just calls me to be his servant, to go where he wants me to go, to the people he wants me to go to. So I wonder what was in your heart as you came to church this evening. Did you come to be a blessing? Did you come to be an encouragement? Or did you come just to be fed? Now, it's really important to be fed God's word. But God calls us together so that as a body of God's people, we might together grow into maturity in Christ, who is the head. Ephesians chapter 4. He wants us to grow into maturity in Christ, the head. How do we do that? We do that by being the body together as we come together. You're coming to holiday time. If you're going away, I wonder if you're planning on going to a church while you're away. I hope so. Do not take a holiday from God. Do not take a holiday from God. Make sure your holiday is infused with God in it. And read good Christian books. Take time to pray with God. Make use of that time as well. Don't ignore your family that God's given you or anything else. But take time with God. But one thing can I ask you to do? Please find a church and go to it. Please encourage the people there. You see, even if you're going to a church and you don't understand a word of which they're saying, if you're going there to encourage them, you're being a blessing. You're being a brother or sister in Christ. So find those opportunities. What is God's highest praise? God's highest praise to us when we come to his presence is simply this: well done, my good and faithful servant. And he was a faithful servant. Well, finally, he was a trusted messenger. And he said, we read in the end of verse 21, Tychicus, my dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and how I'm doing. I'm sending him for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he might encourage you. He was a messenger to him. But Paul always brought others with him. And this is a big lesson to us, isn't it? Because how did Jesus train up his disciples? How did Jesus do discipleship? Well, he gathered people around him. There was the 72, and there was the 12, and inside that there was the 4. And in each of these groups, he taught more or less, depending on how close he drew them to himself. But that was the message, that was the method which he used. He drew people alongside him. He came into community, if you like, with people and spent time and dwelt with them. And Paul does the same, doesn't he? He gathers people together. He gathers these young men together. He travels with them. He shows them what he was doing. He teaches them how to walk with the Lord. And he fathers them. He fathers spiritual children. We talked about this morning. Are you a spiritual parent? Who have you got who you are bringing up in the Lord, who you're encouraging in the Lord, who you're... This is the pastor's work, I know. But the pastor cannot do that for 400 people. How does the pastor do that? The pastor equips God's people for works of service so that each one of us becomes spiritual parents. And he did the same. And now what was Paul doing? Well, Paul was going as a messenger of the gospel. And now what Paul was doing was sending Tychicus to these churches. And he had letters. They were so important because they were correcting error in the churches. You just need to read through the letter to the Colossians or the letter to the Ephesians, and you'll see the errors that were there. He's correcting, also encouraging them as well. But look at what Paul says he wants to happen in verse 22. He says, that he might encourage you. In other words, he wants Tychicus not just to go and send a letter and read it out, but that he might encourage them. I remember when I was had finished my A-levels and I got my results from my A-levels, and my results from my A-levels were not what they ought to have been. Now, I know I've got a doctorate in my title, and it sounds like I'm terribly intellectual. I am really not. I really am. I worked very hard, and my A-levels were a disaster, and God was gracious. That's all you need to know. But I was sharing it because I had this vision of what God wanted me to do. He put in my heart, and you know, to go to university, to get the skills so I could go off to the mission field for the Lord. This is what I had on my mind. I had my own kind of life mapped out for me. God had very different plans, and I'm here, but never mind. But I had it all mapped out, and I just couldn't understand. I was a young Christian, and I went to somebody who was a friend of mine, and asked him what he thought, and he just said to me, he talked with me, and he just said, well, it'll be okay, off you go, you know, all things work together for good, and kind of off you go. I went to the pastor of the church, and he was so different, because he just sat and listened to me. He listened to my worries. He got to understand what my difficulties were. And he brought God's word into the situation. But he didn't just leave me with God's word. He walked me through God's word and through the days so that I knew how to walk with him. And that's what Tychicus had learned to do. He had learned the same truth. He drew alongside them. He brought them God's word, but he walked with them so that they might be encouraged. And Paul knew that these Ephesians were worried. Particularly, they were very worried that Paul was in prison. And what did that mean? And how did that work out? You know, if God is really going and his kingdom is growing and God wants to be is going to be triumphant, how can Paul be left in prison? You know, wasn't Paul released from prison in Philippi? Wasn't Peter released from prison and John? Why is God doing it like this? Why is God keeping Paul in prison? And Paul, so he sends Tychicus to them. And he tells them that as Paul was writing to them in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, as a prisoner of the Lord. And then he does a big aside because he's concerned for him. And he wants them to understand that he's not a prisoner because God is not capable, but God is absolutely sovereign over every single circumstance. And so he sends Tychicus because he wants Tychicus to explain to them how it all works out, to encourage them again, to build them up, and so that he may see that we have a God who is able, as Paul said, to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. To him alone be the glory. He didn't want it to be abstract. He wanted it to be worked out in their lives. Now, I wonder what role God has given you in the church. Maybe you're a singer, musician. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you're involved in the back end of the church and doing the admin. And maybe you're eloquent. Maybe you're not. But what God wants us to do, in whatever God calls us to do in the church, is to do simply this, to draw alongside, to walk with people. And such a ministry, Tychicus was sent to Crete to give Titus a break in Titus chapter 3, verse 12. And it was such a difficult situation. Paul tells them that even their own prophets say that Christians are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Wouldn't you love to have that written over here? You know, Cheltenham people are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. He sends Tychicus to give Titus needs a break. And so Tychicus comes alongside him and gives him a break. And Titus was going to rebuke him sharply. He was going to have a lot of difficult responses. And so he sends him Tychicus to come alongside him and encourage him. And when he sends him to Ephesus, he sent to Ephesus so that Timothy could come and encourage Paul, because Timothy was facing such difficulties there with false teaching, and Tychicus was sent so that Timothy could have that relief and Tychicus could draw alongside him. I wonder whether you realize the privilege it is to be a messenger of God to God's people. I remember in primary school, in our primary school, you weren't allowed to be a messenger until you were a big kid. You know, you couldn't be a messenger of a small kid because you might get lost somewhere in the school. It was a huge primary school, I have to say. And so it came the day when we were allowed to be messengers. And I remember the day when I was picked to carry this message. And I can still see myself in my little shorts. And yeah, you can visualize it. In my little shorts, carrying this message proudly because they'd given me the message to bring. Do we realize that God gives us the privilege of carrying his word, not just to a lost world, but also to one another, so that together we might grow in the Lord? He was a faithful messenger, one who could be trusted with God's word, in applying God's words to people's lives and in people's situations. You do not need a theology degree to do this. You just need to hear God speak to you and to tell you how to apply his word to each situation he calls you into. Well, Tychicus is a wonderful challenge to us, isn't he? A beloved brother, always there. A faithful servant, a pleasure he found in serving. And a trusted messenger who drew alongside. William Booth of Salvation Army was asked the reason for his huge commitment and effort in the work. And he said this: "There was a day in my life when I vowed that God would have everything there was to have of William Booth. There was a day in my life when I vowed that God would have everything there was to have of William Booth." Now, we don't have a single word of Tychicus recorded. But both you and I are here in Christ because of him. Because it was through Tychicus that the churches were encouraged, that were built up, and the gospel went out. You and I are here because of him. And just as there are people who are here because of Edward Kimball, there will be people, if you are a faithful servant in God's kingdom, because of the service that God calls you to. The question is, are you going to be that faithful messenger, that beloved brother, and that faithful servant? Tychicus was like one of those, Hebrews 11 says, the world was not worthy of them. Just servants, but servants of the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. I'll just ask the band to come up as we do so. And I don't. How does God want you to respond to this? God speaks here to us as individuals. We're all in individual situations. But God wants us to respond as to be his servants. And rather like William Booth, who came to that day, who said, there was this one day when I said God would have my all. There is no limit to that age, by the way, when you can say that. I love Caleb. Caleb, 85 years old. He'd been promised the mountain. And he came up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain. There is no limit to the time God can use you. I've already used this illustration. Claude, 103, blind and deaf, but lived so radiantly for the Lord in the care home in his last days that people, nurses and carers in the care home, came along to our church and street to find out what was so different about Claude. There is not a day in your life that's without purpose. And so maybe as we just have our heads bowed and you want to say to the Lord, Lord, yes, use me, continue to use me. Yes, Lord, make me a servant of you. Make me like this man, Tychicus, who is a beloved brother, a faithful servant, and a trusted messenger. Make me like him.